This is Marketplace. I'm Kimberly Adams. Being in an open office can be particularly challenging if you have a mental health condition. Millions of Americans struggle with issues like depression or anxiety, yet many feel as though they can't get the support they need at work. In fact, for some, mental health can feel like a don't ask, don't tell topic at the office. That's the subject of a recent story by Cynthia Coons. She covers healthcare for Bloomberg. Cynthia, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So in one of your stories, you talk about a company that is investing in mental health care, but it doesn't seem to quite get it right. Why is this so challenging for businesses?
It starts at the beginning with how people feel about opening up about their mental health at work. The workplace is competitive in America, and people often live in fear that if they disclose a mental health condition, it will be used against them. And then there's the reality that there are laws to protect workers within the workplace, but you'd have to actually take legal action or go to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission and file a complaint in order to use them against your employer. So people are loath to do that. And the secrecy and stigma around mental health keeps this problem festering behind the scenes where nobody really wants to talk about it.
Is there a way to judge how common it is that someone really does face some kind of backlash for disclosing a mental health issue in the workplace?
That's data I haven't really ever been able to work out, just because so much of this is done privately. So even if a person were to take a claim to the EEOC, that would be handled through mediation. And so those precedents aren't necessarily public. And if employees sue their employer, that's something that will go public, but a lot of people settle, and then settlements end up in with usually non-disparagement clauses, and people don't talk about why they ended up in that position in the first place. Most of it's done quietly and behind closed doors.
Were there examples that you came across in your reporting of companies that were doing mental health support well and companies that were doing not so well?
I think the most encouraging thing that I found in my reporting is that so many companies and so many employers want to do a better job than they've done so far. So there were big companies like Cisco that were taking a new approach towards mental health. For example, they're giving emergency days off for things that aren't classically sick days or vacation days. Microsoft is building on-site counseling services. Companies like Chevron have actually stood out in the mental health arena, and they're actually now, in cases where it doesn't affect the safety or operations of the company, forgiving people for failed drug and alcohol tests and helping them get into recovery. So a lot of companies are stepping up and trying to make a more inclusive and open workplace where you can talk about your mental health and you can seek help and it wouldn't be used against you.
And what about the companies that maybe aren't doing so well?
I wouldn't necessarily want to point a finger at a specific company for not necessarily rising to the occasion. And in fact, consider the fact that it's much bigger than that, and it's much more of a question of how large companies address this from a leadership perspective and ensure that people much lower down the chain are getting the access and treatment that they need. And some of that really just comes down to whether or not the insurance that they offer, the health insurance, has adequate mental health coverage, because that's another consistent problem where people go to use their insurance and they can't access mental health care.
Yeah, you mentioned in one of your pieces that people who try to use their insurance to get mental health care will often find a long list of therapists or psychologists that aren't accepting new patients or that charge more than the insurance company will reimburse.
Yeah, these are called ghost networks, and they're basically networks full of psychiatrists and psychologists that don't actually take the insurance plan that they're listed under. It's so common. I was almost awash in stories of this. It was just unbelievable how many people told me examples where their insurance plans listed in network providers just were not available to them. And so a lot of what needs to happen here is employers need to really push on their insurers and figure out if their services are adequate. And I think in 2020 and beyond, there's going to be some larger scale initiatives where the employers actually start to push for this. But it's a really critical piece of the problem, because it's not just about coming out and saying, I have a mental health condition. It's really about being able to get the chronic lasting therapy to live with that and manage your symptoms on an ongoing basis.
Cynthia Coons covers healthcare for Bloomberg. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.